left me all alone. What am I supposed to do here now? Brutal. Alright, I guess I entertain the crowd on my own. It's
it's Dorkspawn. That's the show that we're listening to, that you're listening to. We are in it. You are hearing it. That's the show that we are doing. Welcome, children, to Dorkspawn, a show where we talk about Dragon Age, myself and Dylan. Oh, Dylan, one of the greatest to ever do it, my best friend of all time. Truly the greatest little elf, goofy little guy. They're funny, they're smart, they care too much about things. And by care too much, they're just so kind and giving of every part of their soul. They give so wholeheartedly to everything. I say too much because it's crazy. It's crazy that they... it's crazy that they do that. I've never met anyone that does it as much as Dylan. I just think they're just the greatest. I love them so deeply. I was on the way back from Gen Con. I was getting driven by a friend, Haley, and I started talking about Dylan. And I got so passionate that I almost cried. I got a lump in my throat. And it was cringe, for lack of a better word, to be so passionate about someone and just talk about how much I adore them. It's goofy. I can hear them walking around now and kind of coming back in and all that jazz. So I do want to rein it in a little bit because they can't know any of this. I just heard them put their phone down on the counter. They're drinking some water. Their gain is up so high, it's insane. I can hear every facet of what they're doing.
Who do you think you're talking to?
I'm talking to the audience, the beloved audience.
They don't know you. I'm sorry about this creep.
Dylan. Yeah. When you edit this, I need you to listen to what I was saying.
Okay.
Because your immediate response is the funniest capstone to that to what I was saying ever. And I'm not going to explain it, but the shit is so good.
Yeah.
I had something that I wanted to say. And oh my God, that was it. It has been 1 week since we last recorded. This might be the longest week I've ever experienced. I genuinely today, I was like, oh yeah, we're recording Dorkspawn. When the fuck was the last time we did that? Because it must have been like a few weeks ago to a month, and it hasn't. It's been 7 days. It's just been the longest seven days
I agree.
That I've ever experienced.
I agree with you so much.
Granted, I've worked every day. I work... Just me inside of an antique shop alone, that drags. That makes shit take a really, really long time. And I think I've both done so much, but the things that I've done have been slow and boring to the point where it's just made time extend to an unnaturally hateable degree.
Yeah. I think it's been moving slow for me. Yes, also because I've been busy with like work and things that are not fun and taking a lot of time. But also that I have like new game jitters. This is like so much more exciting to talk about than a regular episode. This is a brand new.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It is exciting. Hello everyone. My name is Robin. I have completed one Dragon Age game.
And I'm Dylan. I've played a million Dragon Age games 100 times.
Beautiful. Welcome to Dorkspawn. This is a Dragon Age book club where we play through the Dragon Age franchise and then we talk to you like a book club. We do it chapter by chapter, so to speak. We have finished Origins.
Done.
It is dead, killed. I hated it. I hated the whole thing.
You did not. I just got done listening to our finale episode where you talk about how much you love it.
It's the best. Shit's so fucking good.
So much.
And now we're on to Dragon Age 2. No more is our Grey Wardens the heroes.
No.
Now we're going to talk about our Hawks, the new people in this majestical, fantastical world. But we don't even make our Hawks as soon as Dragon Age 2 opens up. We kind of do. We pick their class and gender, but we don't customize them really.
Well, okay. Actually, let's take a beat because in between.
That's Did true. This is actually true. Hunt? You're so correct. I forgot immediately. I have in giant capital letters on my notebook before Dragon Age 2.
Witch
Hunt. I did. Great. Because, so, there's a thing for people who don't know anything about Dragon Age. You can actually import saves from previous Dragon Ages over into things. So it's like your world state is consistent.
Yes.
However, Dragon Age Origins is no longer supported by EA. So it's... We were a bit panicked about how to carry over these save files. There is a thing called Dragon Age Keep, which we've mentioned a few times on the show.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, Dragon Age Keep. I'm going to go on that, and I'm just going to plug in my world state, all the things I did, and then hopefully I'm going to bring it over to Dragon Age 2, if that's, you know, the option. Whilst I was doing that, I saw one of the DLCs that's like, hey, it's important that you have your things in is Witch Hunt. I booted up Origins again, even though I said I'd never play it again. Booted up Origins, and I started playing Witch Hunt. Witch Hunt takes place canonically after Awakening. You tell me about this, because you would have been playing your guy.
So here's the thing. So Witch Hunt is you looking for Morrigan after the Blight is done.
Yes.
That's what the storyline is.
Yes.
And I canonically would not have done that because Falaria is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, Awakening makes sense for me to play a new warden. It's not specifically, it doesn't need to be the Grey Warden, the hero of Ferelden. It just needs to be any Grey Warden who's called to this action. But searching for Morrigan is a personal matter. That's like a personal quest.
Yeah.
So having some random new warden, because you can do it, you can make a random warden.
Yeah.
And have them look for Morrigan seemed stupid to me. So I was like, I don't think I want to do that. So I did just import Falaria just to like see it, but it is
very good.
I'm deleting it from my canon. This never happened. We didn't do this. It didn't happen.
Interesting.
I just wanted to see the game.
Yeah.
And like see what it is.
Yes.
So you go to Flemeth's house to like look
now,
for signs of her is kind of where you start.
In the opening, Morrigan, I believe, gives a hint at the fact that we were lovers in the opening.
Tell me about that.
I can't remember exactly what she said, but she says something about how leaving was the hardest thing she has ever done, or something like that. And I was like, is that because we banged and it's a romance thing, or is that just what she says, just generally, because she has a little gang of friends? Which you're shaking your head, so I'm saying no, it's not a normal thing. Let me go on to Dragon Age Wiki. I'm gonna find this shit out. But yeah, she was mentioning that it was really hard in the opening to leave me or do something akin to that. I'm gonna find the actual quote as you. Continue on your little chat.
All right. So you go to Flemeth's hut. That's kind of where it starts out. You're looking for, you're looking for signs of Morgan signs of where she might have gone. Dog is there, which is nice. A little weird if you didn't have dog, but dog is always there. And then inside the hut, you meet a Dalish warrior, Ariane. She wants you to take her along with you, and she wants you to go to the Tower of Magi to look for a book. Yes. And then you kind of have to agree, and then you all get attacked by Darkspawn.
Yep.
Who are like, the idea is that this is not long after the Blight, and Darkspawn are still retreating, and so there's just like stragglers left behind out in the Kakari Wilds. And so you travel with this new mage to the Circle Tower. You're looking for this book that she's looking for. There's like another index pedestal puzzle, not one as complicated as the one from the original Circle Tower thing. But you, thank God. But you activate all these bookshelves. You read a ton of books. And then you find, you have to find a catalog of elven relics. And then you find translating elven languages. and then we get information for the first time
about the Dalish elf origin.
Not about the origin, but about Illuvians. Which I guess is part of the Dalish elf origin. I forgot about that.
And then the Dalish that you're with is like, oh yeah, two people from my old camp.
Yes, them, that's right, right, right.
One of them was lost, and then one of them got so ill that they eventually died.
Right. So
and that's who you are if you play the Dalish elf origin.
Yeah,
you're the one who gets really ill, but instead of dying, you go off with Duncan.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you go to the Circle Tower basement, which is being held hostage by malfunctioning sentinels. Didn't know that we had sentinels in the Circle Tower. Don't remember that little bit. Makes the Circle Tower even more terrifying of a place.
This is where you go in the mage origin.
Yes.
You go down here, yeah.
Yeah. So you go down here. We're trying to damage the sentinels.
We're trying to close fade portals.
There's veil tears.
These veil tears are making one specific statue who can speak very scared and speak in like nonsense. So we have to go close all of them because they are also activating the sentinels. When we do all that, we then go to the statue and we talk to the statue, and then she's like, oh yeah, it's in the Kadash Taig is where you need to go, which is where Shale is from originally. This is very fun because it's a bit of a like a, you go to a lot of places that you haven't really been, like you've been to before, because it's Flemeth's Hut, which you've been to twice. Probably,
but these like minor places, Kadash Taig, you go for like 10 minutes.
The Mage Tower, you go into the underground of the Mage Tower. You go to Kadash Taig, and then you go after you go through the Kadash Taig, and you're like, you find these artifacts that the elves hid, and made invisible. So this mage that you bring along like helps you find them, and you like then collect them all. And then when you have all of the Pokemon, it points you toward the Dragonbone Wastes, which is where Awakening
had happened. Ends. Yeah.
I had very fun. I had a lot of the lead lady talks to me a lot about Morrigan. Also, I was wrong. Morrigan says in the opening narration, Flemeth once said to me that temptation lies in the forbidden. Do not follow me, I said. Harder words I have never spoken. And I thought that was related to me because I romanced Morrigan.
This
just says Morrigan's narration. It doesn't say anything about
romance. Well, in my mind, it is. It's for you.
In my mind, it was immediately because I said it as soon as we opened the episode. Morrigan's ring was mentioned because I never took Morrigan's ring off since the second she gave it to me, even though it's not good. But I don't know if it's like if, yeah, I have it. It's in my inventory if it's mentioned. But the fact they kept bringing it up, because they were like, the girl was like, you keep playing with that ring. What is that? And I was like, oh, it's Morrigan's. She gave it to me. And it's like, you should stop. Like, she's like, well, she's bad. And I'm like, no, I said I'd find her and all this. And like, she's worth it. And then the girl was like, damn, she is a number on you, huh? She has you wrapped around her little finger. And I was like, well, you know, people are worth that. Anyway, you go to the dragon bone wastes into the nest, which is where you killed the mother originally. You fight a thing that's like this like folklorian Thedas thing. And then you go into the nest, and then there's Morrigan. She's next to this mirror.
The Alluvian.
The Alluvian.
Yeah.
What did you do here?
You go through to the Dragonbone Wastes again. This time you're fighting what? They're like dragon cultists.
Yeah, you fight some dragon cultists. Yeah.
And then you have to fight these golems that are pretty hard.
Yes. And then the big boss is this like
Varitrel?
Yeah, something like that.
Varitrel?
Does that thing come up again? Because the lady made it seem like a huge deal.
I don't recall it.
Okay.
I could be wrong. There's a lot of stuff.
She's just like, oh my god, it's this thing from Legend. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it comes up again, but you know what? Like, we're kind of paying attention now, so we'll see.
Maybe, yeah.
And then you have this confrontation with Morrigan.
Because mm-hmm. she's like, I'm going to step through this mirror and you will never mm-hmm. see me again. Like, she's like found, yeah. she's gotten this mirror working. Now, the mirror, the yeah. Olivia mirror, there's only a few of them in existence and they can
yes.
pass through into any other mirror is kind of the any other alluvian mirror they yes. can they can like they're just portals and you can walk between them, and Morrigan has stole this book from the lady and is from that, you know, Dalish
from the one you meet at the beginning,
and she's like she's activated it and she's like, I'm doing this so I can just bounce, just fully leave, and no one will ever be able to find me again. And there are a few different ways that this can go. This specifically, like, three, because that's what Keep gave. Which one did you do upon seeing your old friend Morrigan again? I know you said this isn't canon, but we can play with it.
It's not. I don't exactly remember, but I didn't try to stop her from going through the Alluvian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, why?
Why are you doing this? The other thing that you can do is you can stab her for betraying you. You can let her through, or in my case,
what did you do?
You can say, I want to be with you and our son.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, do you want to both go in together? And I said, yes, I want to raise our child together, please.
Wow, she went back on that you'll never see him again thing real fast.
Yeah, because she didn't expect me to find her. She has a ring that lets her know where I am at all times. She knew that I was like a door away and she didn't speed up her process and just walk right through. She waited for me to get there because she wanted me to find her. She wanted me to find her. She wanted me to do exactly what I did and step through with her, or she wanted me to like to show some form of true colors and betray her so she could be proven right and she can put this whole mess behind her. And I was like, nah, I know I told. And,
wow.
And
yeah.
I had it. I had this as kind of a capstone. Because I was thinking about Quinn. I was like, right, so he was started selfish, got very, very selfless, and then started dipping back into hubris and selfishness again through the architect and all that jazz. And I wanted to, I kind of thought it was a slightly sour but poetic end for him to do all this stuff and save the world. And like save thousands of lives and do all this good, and yet all of the things that he and yet the last thing he does is just for him, and that's seen as selfish, even though that's it's like it's not selfish for him to be like, I want to be with the woman I love and our child, like I want to run away and do that, like I don't want to save the world again. But now it's kind of, it's seen as a given that he's going to save the world. He's done it twice now. He did it in Origins and he's done it in Awakening. Both times he saved the world from these like crazy stuff and all this shit. And he's like, I just want to live my life. I don't want to be known as this great, this huge, incredible blood mage, this like the greatest Grey Warden that has existed. I don't want to be known as any of that. I want to be a husband and that's it. And that is how he ends off, is like, you know, it kind of, instead of going and doing this like very selfless thing and saying, no, I'm going to find the book and no, I'm going to do this and I'm going to like continue to help people. He's selfish in a way that is also like, I don't want to be known anymore. I just want to be with my wife.
Wow. Devastating that you would do that at this moment. Well, that's beautiful.
So yeah, he stepped through the portal with her and they're going to raise their child together, even though I know the child's name. I hate that name. I know
what is the name,
Kieran
again? Yeah, Kieran. Oh, I love the name Kieran. You don't like Kieran?
No, I don't like the name Kieran. Admittedly, my next door neighbor is called Kieran, so it's just like one of those things where it's like, I now attribute Kieran to him all the time and I don't like it.
You do not like him?
He's fine. And it's like
Kieran,
we,
if you're listening, Robin clearly hates you.
Definitely.
So clearly
so funny.
Hates you.
Definitely not listening because he is dead, but...
If you've lost a loved one named Kieran,
I am sorry.
I want you to know that Robin hates
him. Jesus Christ. Hi, if you're Kieran's brother, I am sorry. I didn't mean it.
Wow.
Anyway, so I stepped through the thing. I don't like the name Kieran. I don't like the name Kieran for our kid. It's not fantastical enough. IMO. Should be called something fun and cool.
Very fantastical,
yeah, it's
but
fantastical, it's too harsh. There's too many harsh letters in it. Okay.
You have a lot of opinions about letters.
I do, yeah. There are good letters and bad letters, and all numbers should have a capitalizable option. Is my theory on the written word. I have a whole YouTube, when I used to make YouTube videos, I had a whole YouTube video about the fact that they should capitalize numbers, and I got very angry about it.
I do remember that video,
and I still believe in it, because if I want to all cap something, because I speak in all caps all the time, I can't do it with a one, because a one is always a one, and that's just very upsetting to me. Anyway.
What number can you do it with?
None. You can't capitalize numbers.
Okay, but you made it sound like you're like, I wish I could capitalize all the numbers.
Yeah.
Like, it made it sound like some of them could be. And I was like,
I've
fucking talking about?
I think there is a... I'm not going to get into this. There are ways to capitalize some numbers. Sevens, ones can be capitalized. Fours can be capitalized.
How?
So a four.
Oh, by drawing them the different way.
Yeah, by doing the different different version of them is the capitalization of it. And those are the numbers that have like an alternate skin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dragon Age 2.
And then we start Dragon Age 2.
Dragon Age 2, baby.
Now, tell me. Oh, so Dragon Age 2 opens with a dwarf that we don't know. in an interrogation with a Templar we don't know.
A seeker, he calls her.
My apologies, not a Templar. The dwarf is a man named Varric, who is like the guy from Dragon Age. The Dragon Age dude is Varric, who 100% was supposed to be Orgrin.
I think this is their oh, we didn't do this right. We wanted him to be a beloved dwarven character. Yeah. We fucked it up so astronomically. Here's our redo, and we nailed it.
Yeah. And nailed it, because I like him so much immediately. I think he's awesome. And the seeker is called Cass, who I don't know what role she plays in this one, but I was very surprised to see her, because Cassandra is one of the companions in Inquisition, what I thought was very fun. She was the person who, if I wasn't romancing Iron Bull in my original run, which I don't like that romance at all, I think it's rubbish, I would have...
Iron Bull's a terrible romance.
I would have picked Cassandra, because I think she's fucking awesome. She's cool. Mm-hmm. A cool paladin woman? I love that shit. That's like my crack. Yeah.
So the Seeker is interrogating Varric on what happened to, quote-unquote, the champion.
Yes.
And where the champion is.
Yes.
And... right off the bat, we get some awesome sequences. So first, Varric takes over and is telling this story and tells this scene, and you don't get to customize your character. You don't get to name your character. There's nothing happening. The character, it just happens. This cutscene just plays with you in it without your input. And you are just decimating darkspawn after darkspawn after darkspawn. You and your sibling are doing this, and then a dragon comes, kills them all, and flies off.
And then Cass is like, so you have this whole tutorial, and then Cass is like, no, shut up, I know that's not true, what actually happened? Yeah. And it's so fucking funny.
it's so funny, it's so good, and it has set up an idea for the rest of the game, which is that this story, so now Cassandra then pushes him to tell the whole story, and he demands that she listens to the full story. He says, I'm not just going to tell you where the champion is. You have to listen to the story from the beginning. Yeah. And she's like, fine. But it sets up this idea that everything that we're about to do is being narrated by this person in this interrogation. So we have an unreliable narrator telling story.
Oh, it's so good.
So yummy. So, so delicious. And then he goes back into the story, decides to tell the seeker what's really happening. And we kind of get that scene start over. But this time you do get to create your character. And you do have the option to customize, but you are playing a human. There are no other origins to play.
And your surname will always be Hawk as well.
Yes. Because this game is very different than the others. You are playing like a refugee traveling with their family, and your family is a huge part of the game. So instead of having like multiple different skins of your family, they were just like, you're from the Hawk family, here's the canon, you're a human
which
family.
I am actually into. I prefer it that they had a story they wanted to tell, so they're like, I appreciate that origins, you had all these different things, we want to tell this specific story, so you have to be a human. I think that's really cool and fun. Now, tell me everything about who you made. I want to know their motivations. I want to know their class. I want to know what they look like. I want to know their first name.
I chose to play Lady Hawk Warrior. Are you also a warrior?
I'm also a Lady Hawk Warrior.
Named Ash.
Florence is mine.
I like that. That for a moment.
The chances weren't zero.
You believed that we would make the same character. And I made her like just sort of, I didn't do like too much on the customization, but she's got like a kind of like ashy blonde hair type of look. Nice.
Quite a lot of customization. Mine is she's ginger with like green eyes and all this, and she's so pretty, which was really really jarring having them stand next to their dark-haired family. I'm like the only like bright ginger, and my eye color's different, and it's like, hey mom, do you have something to tell me that we need to like talk about? Yeah.
Yep. So you did Lady Hawk. Okay, so we have the same siblings then.
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Which is Carver and Bethany.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ooh, awesome. Okay, and so you're not a mage.
No, I'm a warrior.
Love that. Okay, so then after Varric starts retelling the story, we start that scene over again with us being like, ambushed by Darkspawn. We're from Lothering.
Yeah.
And if you remember, when we leave Lothering, Lothering is absolutely destroyed in Origins.
Yeah.
So we visit Lothering. It's like full of refugees. We leave there. Everybody is murdered.
Yeah.
And so these are the few people who have escaped Lothering and are trying to get out.
Uh-huh.
So they get like surrounded by Darkspawn on this like cliffside. Our mom is defenseless. It's just me, Bethany, and Carver trying so hard to defeat all these Darkspawn. And then they start coming in waves, like unbearable waves. And then the dragon thing does happen. Yeah. But
well, first, however, comma, before we get to that very exciting point, we do meet Wesley and Avalyn.
Oh, that's right. That does happen afterwards. Yeah. So we meet Wesley and Avalyn, who are an interesting duo. So romantic.
Yeah, he dies immediately. It's the romance.
Well, but they have, because you travel with them for a little bit, and like they like have this like deep, like big romantic scene where she's very like, she's very like,
she loves
him. Yeah, but she's also like the knight in shining armor character. Like she is like there defending
him. Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, because he's very injured, so she takes his shield and is fucking up Darkspawn. Yeah.
Oh, and they're what?
Mechanically. You know, we'll talk mechanics after.
Yeah. So we, along our little journey, we learn that her husband, Wesley, is a Templar.
Yeah.
And is immediately, like, making hungry eyes at
Bethany. Immediately on the offensive.
Who's a mage. To,
like, crazy is immediately on the offensive. Is super aggro about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And wants to take our sister in. And it's like, to where, buddy? We're currently in the apocalypse. Who are you turning her into right now?
I know.
Avalyn has to calm him down. I'm leaning hard Purple Hawk.
Oh, very fun. I'm leaning hard Red Hawk so far.
Ooh! I was kind of hoping you would.
So she's bouncing around. Like, I have at the beginning in Lothering, she's very good. And like very like kind and making sure that everyone's like fine and shit, especially toward the Templar. But then she's really easy to go red super fast, is how I'm playing her at the meet.
Okay, I like
that.
She
like is very nice when things are good, but then snaps under pressure instantly and starts like going super hard into red. And so that's just like yelling at people and being like, there's no fucking time for this, grow the hell up and all this stuff. My original plan for this Hawk is to be so pro Templar, which I knew this would be the case, and we did talk about it. When you're doing something like Keep, and everything is out of context, it is easy to make decisions to fit a character or like the story that you want. And it is easier to do that than it is in practice when yes. you're, because I was like, I'm gonna have her be a very she's pro Templar, anti mage is was originally my plan, and then would slowly yeah. go from pro Templar, anti mage to be not anti mage and thinks that they're fine, but then also is not as pro Templar, is like kind of centrist, like in the middle, and the kind of the negativity and the contradictions that come with being a centrist was who I wanted her to be.
Yeah.
The game makes it so fucking hard to do that because your sister is a mage and all of the neg you and like, so Hawk is vocal in this, can talk, which is a change from Origins.
Oh, yep. That's right.
But
so you have fewer dialogue options every round. You have now the introduction of the like dialogue consequence wheel, which is something that EA created and is copyrighted and no one else can do.
Wow. That's
fascinating. Yeah. So this little wheel where you can have you can have like consequence-free questions occasionally, but then three main dialogue responses, and they each have a very planned and consented to outcome. Like, so you have like a, this dialogue choice means this about your character. This one yeah. means this, and this one means that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's, so my plan to be a very like, you know, that type of character is really hard because in the very fact that Hawk speaks, you can't really, it doesn't give you as broad an options as to who you want to be. You can't like because sure. there's only, in most cases, there's only really three options rather than the, you know, we were talking in Origins has up to seven like dialogue choices, yeah. which ultimately don't mean anything, but it does. Now I don't know if this is a thing. Dill, but I found when I was clicking more red options, when Hawk would react to people talking, she was angrier.
Yes,
and that's yeah. what it like kind of sets.
That is what happens. So there's you're spot on. So like you, it changes your Hawk generally, and then also you will as the game goes on. The dialogue option that you have been leaning towards, you will start to see special dialogue options that cool. will have that symbol next to them, and you only have that option because you are a red hawk.
Cool.
Or because you are a purple hawk, because you are a white hawk. Yeah. So like those are it changes who Hawk is.
That is cool. Yeah. I do like that and yeah. the reactivity of it. But there, you know, it was this isn't a negative on the game. This is me going into it the wrong expectations because I was like, oh yeah, my Hawk is going to be pretty pro-Templar. But then you go into it and Hawk, without you touching anything, is very anti-Templar because of Bethany. Like, it's like...
Because having a sister,
and it's like,
that's a,
obviously you're going yeah. to be that. So it's like, oh, okay. We're starting the game. It's not, unlike Grey Warden, where you kind of build who your Grey Warden is, and then, like, you yep. know, how they react. This is like, they start as someone, and then you are picking who they become over the course of these years, rather than the other ways. It's like, this yeah. is who they're becoming. They're becoming
You're picking up darker. In the middle of someone's story.
Exactly. And it's like, they're becoming yeah. darker, or they're becoming, like, a better person, or they're, like, you know, they're kind of just, like, they're this jokey, like, not taking anything seriously kind of character. Rather than having like a, oh, they start as a kind of villain and then they change over the course of time. You can't really have that in this, which is not a negative by any means. Again, that is a lot of me.
No, it just is what it is.
It's just what
yeah.
it is. So it's like, maybe I think this one I'm going to play more openly. I'm going to try go more Red Hawk. But then it's like my idea to have her be very yeah. like, I want to be a Templar, or like the Templars are good things. I'm going to protect it because I had this idea that she met the Grey Warden. She met Quinton at the time when Quinton was at his worst, you know, blood mage. Like, I'm this hyper powerful guy. I've blown 15 people up in the city streets of Lothering. Like, that inn is caked with gore because I blew them all up. And she would have seen that and been like, oh, maybe mages are actually bad because the Grey Warden is not a good person. And he's a mage and blah, blah, blah. So that would have tempered her. Instead of what, you know, instead of that where I was jumping off at, it's like, yeah, she probably did know of him and then she's just changing over the course of time. So instead, anyway, I'll talk about who she's becoming and like kind of the angle that I'm going with as we hit those story beats.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Dale.
Robin, I want to show off how strong and cool my original characters are, but I simply can't keep throwing my Hero Forge minis at people.
Well, have you heard that Hero Forge has just launched two new types of minifigures? One of them is a color acrylic keychain that's the same size as your Hero Forge standee.
Oh, so I could just like carry it around with me and not throw it at people? Oh, I'm looking right now at their website, and they also just launched 100% stainless steel minifigures, so I could totally feel like an old school dork when I'm playing my games.
Ah, and if you throw them, it'll have more impact.
Oh, I'm gonna throw them everywhere.
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad. We do not advocate throwing any minifigures.
No, not at all. None.
But we do advocate visiting HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today.
And check back often because new content is added every single week.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you, and I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder. Podcast for each week, me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you meet the duo. You meet Wesley and Avalyn. You fight through hordes of Darkspawn, and then, just like the original story that Varric told,
yes,
a dragon turns up, kills all the Darkspawn, flies down, and then, it's very fun. In our run, Carver dies. I know that it could be the opposite.
It really depends on your character creation, but for both of us, it's Carver that dies.
Which is sad. I liked him. He was nice.
It was very, yeah, it's very devastating. And then you have to like pull your mom off of his corpse. Yeah. It's awful. It's rad.
But then I have the note because the dragon flies down or the dragon turns into a lady. And I've written, oh my God, it's a really hot dragon lady. Because I didn't know who this dragon lady was at the time.
What?
I didn't know who she was. She was just like a hot old woman.
You've met her before.
Dylan. Her character design has changed so much that I couldn't recognize who this woman was.
She has the most... This is unbelievable.
You are insane thinking that they look the same.
She looks the same. She's just got a different outfit on, and she's got the same iconic voice. It's like unmistakable.
Yeah, but when she's not speaking, she's just a gray-haired woman who looks so different. It's a different character. Entirely it's a different character because, so, spoilers, it's Flemeth. Flemeth turns
it's
up.
Flemeth.
It's Flemeth. Flemeth turns up.
And she's got a nice little, she's got a nice little tiara now.
Yeah. In Origins, Flemeth is a fucking, like, literally just looks like a generic villager, a old woman who stands in the woods. That's all, that's her, like, character design. In this, she has, like, a dress and, like, a cool crown and these, like, weird horn hair stuff. She looks so fucking different that I didn't know who she was originally. And I was like, oh my god, it's Flemeth! That's so fun. And then I was confused because I was like, wait a minute, how is that Flemeth? Flemeth is dead in my timeline. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, she's not dead yet in my timeline.
She's not dead yet
in my timeline.
So that's interesting because you had just, so in the timeline, when you meet Flemeth here on the plateau,
mm-hmm.
your warden had just met her in her old lady rags, like within a week from here.
Yeah.
So this is not like Flemeth going through a big transformation. This is Flemeth revealing what Flemeth really is.
Yes. Yeah.
To us, the audience.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like our warden met old, you know, withered little quaint witch of the wilds a week ago. We are meeting Flemeth, the witch of the wilds.
War-based, yeah. Turning into a giant dragon and slaughtering a bunch of people. And that was cool. We didn't trust her at all because she's a fucking evil dragon lady. But then we did thank her for helping, and then she flies you to a port city, right?
So she agrees to take you in exchange for a very important favor. She has something that needs to be delivered to the keeper of an elven clan.
Yeah, an amulet to the Dalish she needs.
Yes.
It's transporting.
So she needs you to make this delivery. There's a part where you could be like, can't you just do it? Aren't you magic? And she's just like, ha, 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 shut up. and so she gives you a lift, not to the port city, just to like a nearby ship, and then you have to get on a refugee ship, fly across, because there's a cutscene where Cassandra is like, stop again, and she interrupts Varric again, and she's like, don't fucking tell me that a dragon flew the champion all the way to Kirkwall. And he's like, no, let me finish, please. So she drops you off like to a ship. You and your family and Aveline take a ship to the gates of Kirkwall, which are currently barred to new refugees.
Yeah, you sail through a place called the Gallows.
Because now you get a cool, the first of many Varric cutscenes where he does a little time lapse and tells you like about your journey and a little bit about the history of Kirkwall and stuff, and it's rad.
Very good.
There's those cool graphics that are just like sort of like the paper doll animations that I really like. Where it's just like you see like the ships and like the waving water they take you through something that is called like Slaver's Bay, I think, or something like that.
They love slaves over here in Kirkwall. The Kirkwall is not a good place.
They used to. So Kirkwall doesn't anymore, but it used to be where the Tevinter Imperium traded and bought like all of their slaves from Ferelden, which is no longer legal in Ferelden.
Are we in Orlais?
No, we are in a third place. So there's Orlais, there's Ferelden, there's the West Marches, and there is Saharan. We are in the West Marches,
okay,
which is its own like location. Mm. Kirkwall is, in my understanding, the only place in the Free Marches that we... Free Marches. Did I say West Marches?
You said West Marches.
Free Marches.
Very good.
The Free Marches. I think that... Kirkwall is the only place in the Free Marches that we ever actually go.
Okay.
To my understanding, I could be wrong about that, but yeah, it's sort of like this in between, and this port city is how where Tevinter would do its trading with Ferelden before Ferelden outlawed this kind of trade. And so there are these horrifying statues of slaves in chains in the port city of Kirkwall that you sail into. So it's a terrifying history. And you're told, okay, it doesn't happen anymore, but it's like...
But it does, though.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about trusting you on that. But regardless of whether or not slavery happens here anymore, you get there, and they're certainly not great people.
No.
This city
is... The story so far does absolutely everything to hammer in the fact that this city... fucking sucks and is bad and shit, and you are only here because your family has a like manor here, and you kind of have to be like there's really no other option,
there's nowhere else to go. This is the only place your family has any sort of connection. You've got an uncle here so your mom's brother lives here and had inherited the family estate. Your mom fell in love and got married and moved to Ferelden, and so she relinquished her right to the estate. But now times are dire. It's time to come home. And you get to the gates and they're like, no more people are being let in at all. And they're turning people away. They're like, we'll get a ship back here to take you all back to Ferelden. Where there's currently
a blight happening.
So they're like, yeah, we'll just send you back. So you know what? I take it back. Maybe the Free Marches is America. Maybe the Free Marches is America.
Yeah, maybe so.
I forgot about the Free Marches when I was saying that there's no fantasy America.
Yeah, we were having a conversation yesterday where we were talking about because I said, I don't know anything about the Tevinter Imperium, but I was like, well, they're very, like, imperialist, so maybe that's America. And Dylan was like, no, it's not that. What did you say that Tevinter Imperium was?
So in Origins, Tevinter is kind of nothing. They don't really say much about it. But when we start to learn more about Tevinter and they do flesh it out more, it's heavily inspired by, like, Southwest Asia, region. So I had forgotten about the Free Marches, and I think now that the Free Marches are America.
Oh, I love that. It's awful. Kirkwall is a very, very bad
place.
It's
bad.
You are like, hey, listen, we have family here. We need to get just past the borders. And they're like, no, if you don't have money to prove that you can, fuck off. Like, that's ridiculous. We're not going to let you pass. You're like, okay, then fine. Can I speak to someone in charge so they can at least get my uncle to come down and admit it? And they're like, all right, fine. Go meet them. You go off. You meet the captain of the guard. And then I can't remember really. Oh, no. You meet the captain of the guard. He's like, yeah, sure. We'll go get your uncle. 3 days pass. The time skips in this intro are huge. It's like, isn't it like 3 years? Oh no, it's a year and a bit.
It's first like 3 full days to wait for your uncle. Yeah. That one's brutal. But they only go get your uncle is because, so like, they're like, all right, fine. Like, we'll talk to your uncle, I guess. And then other people who've been waiting are like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're gonna take them in and start attacking the guard kill them. Yeah. And that's when the blood starts. Because it's a lot in this game. This is the most blood per capita game in the series. And so then they go get your uncle, but it takes 3 days. 3 days of you just presumably doing nothing in port.
Except for like, slowly starve to death as you have no food.
Exactly. And then your uncle shows up and he's a dick. He sucks. He sucks so bad.
He does suck. But you also find out
he calls your mom fat. Like, immediately, he's like, whatever happened to your stupid husband? She's like, he died. Oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, sorry, I guess. And then he's like, yeah, and I gambled away all our money. Whatever, yeah. There's no
and
money
he's just
left.
Like a fucking failure. Like, everything he does is just stupid and he sucks. Yeah.
And it's funny because he's like, yeah, I gambled everything away. We have nothing at all. And your mom's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I didn't know you were coming back.
Yeah.
like that's his reasoning. He's like, I didn't expect you.
I like how much of a failure he is, though. I think it's funny.
Fucking Gamlin. Yeah. With a name like
Gamlin.
Oh,
yeah, and his name's Gamlin. Gross.
Gamlin.
What's next, Kieran? Can't believe it.
So he's like, okay, I have no way to like get you into the city. We have no money. I've got nothing. What I do have is crime. I know some criminals, and if you work for them for like a year, then you'll probably have enough money to get
in. There's two groups of them.
Two kinds of criminals that you get to be for the next year. Which did you choose?
Well, you can pick either the smugglers or the mercenaries. Now, this is where the first choice of like, okay, who is my hawk? Who is Florence? What's she gonna, do? And I think Florence is very like, if I abide by the law and I do good things, I will get rewarded for doing so. All you need to do is play within the law. Because
oof, that's rough.
He doesn't say, oh, I have two criminals. He says, I have mercenaries and I have smugglers.
That is interesting.
So she's like,
you're right.
Okay, I don't want to be the smugglers because that's crime. And I don't want to get embroiled in a life of crime because that's bad and negative and I'm making everyone's lives worse. So I'll go do the mercenaries. She went to the mercenaries. The mercenaries like, oh, hey, yeah, sure, you can join us. I need you to kill, like, six people. And she's like, well, if it's within the law, then fine. I guess I can do that. Like, it doesn't matter because it's like, yes, this doesn't feel great, but also, this is what, like, these people broke the law and they need to pay for breaking the law. She's just an idiot. She's just very naive and is like, oh, like, just doesn't realize that she immediately is getting taken advantage of, and this is crime prime. So she went over to the people who stole a bunch of money and then killed them and then went back, and then the mercenary was like, oh wow, good job, okay, yeah, sure, you can get in. And then a year passes. What about you? What did you do?
So I went and talked to both of them. And I also talked to, there's a vendor out in the, there's a guy selling stuff out in.
It's a kid having fun. I also looked out, but a kid is just running around outside. It's fine.
I thought it was a cat. That
oh
was
no,
that's
okay. A child.
okay. So there's a guy selling wares in the outskirts of the city on the outside of the gate. And I talked to him first. And he's talking to a woman who's absolutely sobbing because she has to sell all of her belongings that she came to Kirkwall with to continue living, like, while she waits for another option. And she's had to sell all of her personal belongings, and he's the only person selling and buying out here, and he's buying it for pennies. And so this is similar to a Lothering scenario kind of thing. This guy is capitalizing on the fact that there's no one else out here, and these people have nothing else to go on. And so she's just sobbing here. At first you talk to him, and then like, you can't really say anything. He's like, mind your business. Get out of here. You want to buy something or not? So I walk away. I go talk to the mercenary. I get the deal on the mercenary. And then I go talk to the smuggler. And something stuck out to me so much in my little conversation with the smuggler. Because the smuggler was like, hey, like, it's dirty work and whatever, but we don't deal in slaves. And I was like, that's like... In like an in-character perspective, coming from a place that does not have slavery, I think that Ash clocked that having to specify that means that that's such a problem here that we need to do like we have to align ourselves with whoever is not involved in that.
Is not doing that. Yeah.
So we went with the smugglers and immediately she's like, all right, well, if you want to work for me, go get my money back from that guy who's been ripping off everybody out here. So I already felt like she was like kind of doing a little champion. Bit of a Robin Hood kind of kind of thing. So then I went over and I was like, give me everything in your chest and took everything from him. And then he leaves the port. And so then I become a smuggler for a year. And we do another time skip for that full year.
Full year.
That goes by. And then you are let into the city finally of Kirkwall. You have a home. It's a home in the slums. It's, you know, in Lowtown, it's called. And it's not nice. And it's one room. And you live there with Gamlin, your mom, Bethany, and your dog.
Yep.
So it's a little crowded, but you've got like this kind of neat little setup here where you've got like a mailbox now where you get like letters to your house.
That's fun. I haven't been home yet.
That's the first place I went. Yeah. The first place I went once I got in, cause then I got to talk to dog and I got to name dog, which I forget. I'll know for next time what my dog's name is. And you talk to Gamlin, you get a little bit more history. I'm going to let you discover that because I've heard it before. Mm-hmm. But you get a little more family history, a little more family drama. And then you can like walk around the inside of Kirkwall for the first time. And one of the first people you meet, pretty much the first person is Varric, the one being interrogated in the prologue, the first person you meet is Bartrand. Because then Varric comes and is like, sorry about my brother.
Yeah, because you meet him because there are people looking to go on an expedition into the Deep Roads because it specifies that the Blight has been defeated.
A year later, the hero
of Ferelden stopped the Blight. And now that the Deep Roads have like receded so much, a lot of people are going there, specifically dwarves, are going there to like clean up and just grab all of the shit from the Taigs that have like now been uncovered and are not crawling with Darkspawn. And you're like, I want in. Get me in on that expedition because that's a lot of fucking money. And the brother is like, no, but then you see Varric and Varric's like, yeah, I can get you in.
Okay. Varric saves you from being pickpocketed.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah, shoots an arrow with Bianca.
Shoots a guy just in the shoulder. I mean, God, he's so sick. It's such a good opening.
He's awesome.
I love him so much. I hate Orgrin, and I I'm so glad that Orgrin is dead.
Fuck you, Orgrin.
I'm so glad that Orgrin is fucking dead. Because man, he's just the best. Yeah, I love him. He saves you from being pickpocketed and is like, hey, you want to go to the Deep Roads, right? Come hang out. And I'll get you in. And you're like, thank you.
He's basically like, all you need is money. Like, we can get money. We'll be fine. We'll make some money and then you'll get in on the expedition. Yeah. And he tells you to like meet him at the Hanged Man, which is the tavern in Kirkwall. Coolest place ever. best bar. So you meet Varric, you meet Bartrand, you hear about this expedition. You can go home and see your home. But then the first like thing that arises on your quest marker is to like go visit your people. And so you can go and visit
Avalyn is because so I went from here. I walked around Lowtown for a bit. I re-met Bodan and Sandal, who are both there.
Oh, yes. They're there too. Yes.
Sandal now says more words than just enchantment, which is very stupid.
Not many.
Which he also did it in a way Nope, which he also did in Witch Hunt, because I also saw him in Witch Hunt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I met them, and then I went to a giant... It's like Avalyn is now working for the guard of the city.
Yes.
Yeah, and I went to go visit her to say hi, hello. Was my first thing. I didn't go to the Hanged Man. I don't know if you could go to the Hanged Man until after this.
You can't go to the Hanged Man until after this, but you can go home.
Yeah.
You can visit
her. And then you go to speak to her, and then she needs something doing. And you're like, hey, listen, why don't I just do it for you? And she's like, well, you can't do it for me, but you can do it with me, and I will help you do that. And then she joins your party. And then that's where I stopped, because I believe that's
That's where it stops. But you can also talk to her before she gives you that quest. And I ask her, like, how she's holding up, you know, a year after Wesley dies. And we have this kind of, you know, sweet conversation, indicating that, like, we're not friends necessarily, but that, you know, we've been through something
together.
We
got each other into the city, so it seems like there's like, you know, she's open to speaking to you, because she's like, yeah, we might not be, like, close, but also, I mean, we got here because of each other, so we might as well still hang out.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, now that is the intro to Dragon Age 2. And then Act 1 has a begun.
So this game fucks.
It's so good. What do you think so far?
There's a lot different to Origins. Mechanically, it's far more... Hey, listen, the fights are fun because they have impact frames now, which I love to death. It's like whenever you hit someone, everything like gah, and it's like it like stops slightly.
Yes.
So it means every single one of your hits are like huge.
Feels like something. That's true.
I will say now, this might just be because I'm a level fucking one warrior, but combat does take ages and isn't very interesting because you can't really do anything at the minute. You're just like auto attacking on people. I'm a sword and shield. I'm a sword and board. I want to dress Florence up as a very classic paladin.
I'm doing two-handers.
Yeah, which would probably be better, but I wanted to like dress her up.
They're both good.
I wanted to dress her up as like, she's the classic paladin with all of the negatives that come with like the lawful good part of being lawful. It's of that nature where it's like she she does follow the law and think the law is good. Else, why is it there? Is kind of her deal. So I wanted to sword and board her. The combat is fun. It is different because it's so like active. It's active in a way that's like,
it's very
it feels
active.
Like you're, it feels just better. It's like, it's essentially the same thing. You can still pause. You can tell people to do shit, all that jazz. But like, it just feels better to have your character like charge into battle with a move and then do like a bunch of combos and shit, and that is really fun and I love that.
Yeah, it's real fun. And then you might not know this yet. I'm trying to think if you've discovered this yet.
I don't know.
Shit. I don't want to ruin it if you haven't.
Is it a mechanical?
But I'm so excited. It's a mechanic.
Okay.
Do you think I can tell? Oh, if it's, well, I don't know if it's more fun to just let you. Oh, because you're gonna find out in like 10 minutes, and then we're gonna have to wait a whole week to talk about it. Oh my
god! Tell me, what are you talking about?
Okay, so you know how this is something that you always talked about while we were playing Origins, but in this game, you can always have dog.
Oh.
You can have a full party and summon dog as many times as you want.
I knew that kind of. I thought, because like I had dog on me at all times, I actually thought that dog in this was like a DLC thing, because it felt weird because you don't interact with Dog, but Dog is with you in the tutorial. And I was like, oh, is this like a DLC thing? Like, I had Origins, therefore I have a Mabari.
Oh, yeah. No.
No, that's awesome. I love that. I'm fucking obsessed with the fact that the Dog doesn't take up a slot, because that is so fucking worthless to me in the opening. But yeah. Speaking of people and chatting, interactions in this game is great. People are talking to each other all the time, and they're bonding, and they're doing cool stuff, and it's fun. And so far, everyone there is really cool. I thought that Avalyn would die in the opening, because just from cultural osmosis, I've never heard anyone talk about her, and I think that's crazy.
You're not on lesbian Tumblr. That's why. That's true.
Yeah, because everyone's always talking about like all of the sad wizards and shit, and no one is talking about Avalyn. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's just that there are so many good companions in this game, and Avalyn is a great one. But there are so many that are so good. And just like the tiniest bit of spoiler, Avalyn is someone who can get close to you, but it's like, I can't remember if she's not romanceable or if she's just like really, really hard to romance. Ooh. It's one of the two, but that like, It just the characters that get talked about more happen to be the ones that people that wind you up can romancing.
Kiss. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of what happens.
Oh, I mean, I guess it would make sense for her not to be romanceable. You meet her husband and her husband dies.
And then her husband dies.
Yeah. I'm checking. I don't think she's romanceable.
I don't think she is.
She's not, though.
Okay.
She's neat, though. I did like her, which is why I was surprised that I hadn't heard anyone ever talk about her before. But she's cool. I like her. I like the game looks great. My god, the jump between Origins and 2 is crazy.
Oh, it's big.
It's lightning. It's so huge. The characters running around with you is like looks better, and the facial animations look better, and everything looks better.
Actually, the characters running around with you in this game look better than in both other games.
I saw a TikTok the other day of someone in Origins, no one walks with you. In Inquisition, no one walks with you. But in Dragon Age 2, everyone is walking like in a formation on pace.
In time step. Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. It's so good.
Yeah, it's great though. I'm really, really excited to keep playing this. This is fucking awesome. And it's crazy because on your original prediction, we're going to be done with this game this time next month, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's just apparently crazy short.
We've got six episodes for this one.
Wow, that's insane. That's mad. Yeah. I'm fucking excited about it though. It's interesting having a character talk. I like it, and I'm never opposed to having a main character talk, especially if there's a point to it. I do think it slows you playing yourself, or it slows you playing like a true character, a true OC that you have built and put your mind in, because you can't have as many options to how to customize that person. But I do like it in terms of having them interact with people, which can't happen if you have a voiceless character.
Exactly. And like every single time you talk to someone in this game, it zooms into a cutscene, even if it's like a silly NPC that has like two lines.
Yeah.
It like feels like it. This game like really zooms in on that character interaction part of the game.
So tell me about Ash. I've talked a lot about Florence and who I want who she's who I kind of want her to be in the angle that I'm going to be making her. What is Ash to you? Like, who is this woman?
Ash is the middle child in a refugee family.
Yep.
Ash is Ash is dealing with that in the way that you would, and that is keeping your family alive by keeping them from killing each other or getting depressed or giving up or whatever. So it's just like, keep everything light, keep harm away from them, and keep everything light and breezy. Make a joke to diffuse this tension. Mm. We're going to get us out of this, and we're going to do it with a smile on our face and with a laughter in our heart.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. We're going to get our family through this. Everybody's fighting. Everybody hates Gamlin. We get it. 100%. Ha, ha, ha. So funny. Oh, Gamlin, no money for food this week. Oh, we love you. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
You're such a quirky character.
Don't worry about it, Mom. I'm going to go out and do some extra work. You don't have to ask questions about what that is. Don't even worry about it. It's totally legit. anyway, I hope everybody, you know what? Everybody should just go into separate rooms and not talk to each other while I'm gone. And then we can resume this when I get back. So that is the responsibility that Ash has taken upon herself.
I love
is
that.
Just keep everybody from losing it at all costs. Tensions are too high, and we gotta defuse them at every scenario.
Huge. Whereas Florence's tensions are too high, and it's because none of you are following the law. And as soon as you start doing that, it's gonna be better.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, which might not even be the whole thing. It like might not even be like, you know, what I end up playing her as. I of course did originally have her be like a really not a nice person, and that was gonna ride until the end, but now she might be a little softer, and maybe she's like, oh, my sister is the exception that proves the rule, that is like that mages are fine. But who knows, maybe she sucks, maybe she's gonna not end up sucking and actually be a great little a joy. Regardless, I know I'm going to love her, whether she's trash or not.
Yeah. I'm into it. Yeah. By this time next episode, we are going to have all our, like, pretty much all our companions.
That's insane. That's crazy to me. So, where are we playing to?
The end of Act One, which you will know. It's not like the prequel, which is kind of like fades into Act One. It's going to be like the end. And then there's going to be a big Varric interlude. Okay. And then it's going to give you.
Okay. Is the Varric interlude the next one that we do? So it's like essentially I play until the Varric interlude.
Yeah. Basically, it's. Actually, I'll tell you the quest.
Thank you. God bless you. Because I was so nervous about.
Oh, that's right. Obviously. Yeah. No. So Act One ends after you finish the Deep Roads expedition. Mm. So that's, you've been given that, like, your work, your quest now is to do enough jobs and meet enough people and get enough influence and money so that you could go on the Deep Roads expedition.
Yeah.
Once you go on the Deep Roads expedition, that's Act One.
Okay.
And so you want to try. I will give you this hint. Like, there are some side quests you will get that will expire if you don't do them before you do the Deep Roads expedition or before you end the act.
Okay.
So... And it's kind of not clear all the time which ones will expire and which ones will remain for you to do when you come back. So just try to do as many as it seems like you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
And then you can do the Deep Roads expedition.
So the beginning of the Deep Roads expedition is the end of Act One?
No. Finishing the Deep Roads expedition is the end of Act One. That's like the final quest of Act One. That's the finale of Act One.
Awesome.
So after you do the Deep Roads Expedition, you will stop, and then we will resume.
Awesome.
Yes. So, you know, we had a cute little sign off for last time.
We did.
Because the Grey Wardens have a cute little motto. There are no Grey Wardens really in this, and there's no real motto necessarily. But I did have an idea for a little sign off, and it's a little... I don't know. I think it's funny.
I love it.
It's not as magical as the like warden thing, but Flemeth says something to you in the beginning of this that is really the most quintessential thing about Dragon Age 2. Right. I think it sets the stage so good, and I think it remains true all the way through to the end of this game. And it is... without an end, there can be no peace. It gets no easier. Your struggles have only just begun. So I think the sign off should be your struggles have only just begun.
Oh no, I love that so much that I might have to have that just be... That's the catchphrase of the whole show. Regardless of what game we're playing, we have to say your struggles have only just begun. Fucking hell, that's so funny.
It's good. It's really good. And it's very Dragon Age 2. It's so, it sums it up so perfectly.
Amazing. Do the teachings have anything to say in Dragon Age 2, or are those exclusively a Dragon Age Origin staple?
Are you kidding me? The Chant of Light exists all throughout Thedas. For Elden and Orlais, at least, we don't know what, you know, fucking blasphemous Chant of Light they say over in Tevinter, where they let men rule the church, those absolute heathens. It's still the same old Chant of Light we always had. Magic exists to serve man and never to rule over him.
Beautiful. And with that, we're no longer Grey Wardens. What are we? Champions?
We're not anything right now. We're nothing. That's why I said your struggles have only just begun.
And with that, listeners.
Listeners.
Thank you for being here. Your struggles have only just begun. Man,
that's
the amount of joy I get from telling someone your struggles have only just begun is outstanding. I should become a villain. I hate this.
Oh, it's so good.